Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Either or is one of Soren Kierkegaard's most influential works and a cornerstone of modern existential thought. Presented as a curated set of writings assembled by a fictional editor, the book stages a vivid conflict between two ways of living. One voice celebrates the aesthetic life, centered on pleasure, novelty, and refined sensibility, while another argues for the ethical life, grounded in commitment, responsibility, and inward integrity. Rather than offering a simple philosophical treatise, Kierkegaard uses letters, reflections, and imaginative essays to show how different life views feel from the inside and what they cost over time. The result is a psychologically sharp exploration of desire, boredom, choice, and selfhood. Either or also introduces themes that Kierkegaard would develop throughout his authorship, including the pressure of decision, the role of anxiety and despair, and the challenge of becoming a self. It remains a demanding but rewarding classic for readers interested in philosophy, literature, and the art of living. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the aesthetic life, pleasure, mood, and the seduction of possibility. A major strand of Either or dramatizes what Kierkegaard calls the aesthetic way of life, where the self is guided by immediacy, taste, and the pursuit of interesting experiences. This outlook values intensity over continuity and prefers possibility over settled identity. It can appear sophisticated, even liberating. One avoids heavy obligations, cultivates refinement, and treats life as material for enjoyment or artistic contemplation. Yet the book presses on the hidden fragility of this stance. When experience becomes the main aim, the self is vulnerable to boredom, restlessness, and the need for constant novelty. The aesthetic outlook can also turn relationships into instruments for stimulation, replacing commitment with cleverness. Kierkegaard explores how the aesthetics of living relies on controlling distance, staying unbound, and maintaining options. That strategy can temporarily protect against disappointment, but it also prevents deep formation of character. Over time, possibility without decision becomes its own trap, because the self is never gathered into a coherent direction. The book uses this portrait to ask whether a life organized around moods and pleasures can sustain meaning, or whether it inevitably collapses into emptiness and self-division. Secondly, the ethical life, choice, duty, and becoming a self, against the aesthetic viewpoint, Either or presents an ethical perspective that treats life as a project of self-formation through chosen commitments. The ethical is not merely rule-following or social conformity. It is the idea that a person becomes a self by deciding, by taking responsibility for who they are and what they will stand for. In this frame, freedom is not the endless availability of alternatives, but the capacity to bind oneself to a path and live it with integrity. The ethical voice emphasizes continuity, accountability, and the importance of promises, including the everyday work of sustaining relationships and obligations. Kierkegaard frames this as a higher seriousness that gives life weight and shape. The ethical life also recognizes guilt, repentance, and the need to confront one's failures honestly rather than escaping into distraction. Importantly, the ethical is shown as something lived from within, not simply argued in abstract terms. The book invites readers to notice how ethical commitments create a more unified identity, where actions, values, and long-term aims can align. By contrasting this with the aesthetic life, Kierkegaard sets up a central question: is a person willing to choose, and thereby accept the risk, limitation, and responsibility that genuine selfhood requires? Thirdly, boredom, despair, and the inner costs of avoiding commitment. Either or is famous for its psychological acuity, especially in diagnosing boredom and despair as spiritual symptoms rather than mere passing feelings. In Kierkegaard's portrayal, boredom is not only the absence of entertainment, it is the experience of a self that cannot rest in anything because it has not decided what it is for. The aesthetic strategy of chasing stimulation becomes a cycle, because novelty quickly turns into familiarity, and familiarity into emptiness. This creates a pressure to reinvent, to change settings, companions, or identities without addressing the underlying lack of inward grounding. The book also points toward despair as a deeper condition, a misrelation in the self, where a person either refuses to become who they are or tries to construct an identity without true responsibility. Despair can hide beneath sophistication, humor, or romantic intensity, making it easy to mistake cleverness for health. Kierkegaard's method is indirect. He does not simply label a character as sick, but shows how certain patterns of living generate their own dissatisfaction. This topic matters because it reframes common modern experiences such as restlessness, chronic distraction, and fear of missing out as existential signals. The reader is pushed to ask what their boredom is saying, and whether their avoidance of commitment is actually protecting them or quietly hollowing out their capacity for meaning. Fourthly, love, marriage, and the meaning of long-term commitment. A central debate in Either or concerns love and marriage, used as a test case for the difference between aesthetic enjoyment and ethical commitment. the aesthetic approach tends to elevate romantic love as a peak experience, cherishing its excitement, poetic intensity, and the thrill of pursuit. Yet it can also treat love as episodic, valuable mainly when it produces feelings of enchantment. The ethical perspective argues that love is not exhausted by passion, and that marriage can be a profound form of personal development. In this view, marriage is not a cage for desire but a deliberate life choice that transforms love from a mood into a practice. It asks for patience, forgiveness, and the daily work of keeping promises, thereby deepening the self. Kierkegaard's discussion challenges the assumption that commitment kills romance. Instead, the ethical claim is that continuity creates its own richness because shared history, trust, and mutual responsibility allow a different kind of intimacy to emerge. At the same time, the book does not romanticize marriage as easy. It treats commitment as risky and demanding, precisely because it involves choosing one person and one path amid many possibilities. This exploration makes the book relevant for readers thinking about modern relationship ideals, fear of settling, and the tension between personal freedom and enduring bonds. Lastly, indirect communication. Why the book refuses to hand you a final answer, either or is structured to make the reader experience the problem of choice rather than simply learn a conclusion. Kierkegaard writes through distinct voices and literary forms, allowing competing life views to speak with real force. This technique, often called indirect communication, is not a gimmick. It embodies the claim that the most important truths about living cannot be transferred like information. They must be appropriated inwardly through reflection and decision. By placing aesthetic and ethical perspectives in tension, the book avoids turning philosophy into a checklist. The reader is drawn into evaluating not only arguments but also tones, assumptions, and the emotional logic of each position. This method also highlights how people persuade themselves. A life view is not only a set of beliefs, it is a way of interpreting experiences, handling disappointment, and explaining away discomfort. Kierkegaard's approach makes it harder to hide behind theoretical agreement, because the question becomes personal: which voice resembles the way you live, and what are you willing to choose? The absence of a simplistic final verdict is part of the point. The book presses the reader to confront the existential weight of decision, where neutrality is itself a choice. In doing so, it models a form of philosophical reading that is closer to self-examination than to academic debate. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want philosophy to speak to real-life choices rather than to abstract puzzles. It will appeal to students of existentialism, psychology-minded readers, and anyone wrestling with commitment, identity, relationships, or the uneasy sense that freedom can become a burden, either or can benefit a reader's life by clarifying how different ways of living shape the self over time. It helps name patterns many people experience today, such as chronic distraction, fear of missing out, boredom masked as sophistication, and the longing for meaning without wanting limitation. By dramatizing the difference between an aesthetic life of endless options and an ethical life of chosen responsibility, it pushes the reader toward more intentional decisions about work, love, and personal values. Compared with similar classics, its advantage is its literary power and its method. It does not preach but stages a confrontation between life views that feel psychologically true. Many moral or self-help books tell you what to do. Kierkegaard shows why you avoid doing it and what it costs. That combination of philosophical depth and human insight makes it worth buying and rereading as your life circumstances change. If you would like to support Soren Kierkegaard, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.